listen to that still small voice inside, that intuition when it speaks, because it's telling you the truth.
Welcome to the Live Well, Be Bold podcast, a podcast on personal growth and self-expression. I'm your host, Carla Gregg, and I'm here to empower you to make bold moves in order to live a meaningful, fulfilled, purpose-driven life. In each podcast episode, I'll share courageous stories, plus give insight on how to live well and be bold so you can become better than you were yesterday. Welcome to another episode of Live Well, Be Bold. I am your host, Carla Gregg, and today I am here with an amazing guest, someone who I personally know. Her name is Ashley Easter. She's an intuition coach and a abuse survivor. So I want her to be able to introduce herself, and I just want to get into this interview because she has so many powerful things to say. Ashley has an incredible story. She is a woman who has survived many things, and I actually had the pleasure of meeting her in real life. About a year ago, I went to go film her conference called Emerge. It's retreat for women who have dealt with emotional, mental, physical, sexual abuse, and it was a very powerful event. Even though I was the videographer, like, I had to hold my camera and make sure it wasn't shaking, because I was wanting to cry the whole time just seeing these women come out of pain and be able to heal because of Ashley's help. So Ashley, welcome. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for that introduction.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited to hear your story. I know that you had been a part of a cult. You survived a horrible abuse situation. I want you to be able to share your story. And you know, what I love about you is that you're not afraid to talk about your story and be vulnerable. And it is a very touchy subject to talk about. I've never experienced with something like that in my life in terms of sexual abuse. I've dealt with mental and emotional abuse, and I know the effects that it can have on women when you don't get help. And, you know, I want to be able, this entire podcast, just to be a raw conversation, and, you know, you to bring light to those who need it, but also, you know, share your story. So how are you? Like, tell us about yourself.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you. And yeah, I would love to share my story with you. I'll try to give you the nutshell version, because honestly, there's a lot of details, and I was in the cult for about 22 years. So I can't go over every single piece, because we'd be here for 22 years. Yeah. But let me just give you kind of, both of my grandfathers were pastors, independent fundamentalist Baptist churches. And these were very strict denominations, a lot of rules. A lot of people would say these denominations as a whole are cults. There are many different types of Baptists, however. So, you know, you've got Southern Baptist, you've got American Baptist, you've got, goodness, there's just so many different types of Baptists. So I'm not speaking broadly for every Baptist person, but I'm just sharing my personal experience. But they were in very, very legalistic church environments. And they were both pastors, but one was in the South and one was in the North. And I grew up with the family who lived in the South. So lived in Lynchburg, Virginia, grew up in this church since the time I was a few days old. But the thing was, it wasn't just the church experience for me that defined my experience as a cult. Inside of the church were different belief systems that people had, inclusive many families decided to homeschool their children. And homeschooling can be a great choice for a lot of different people. Some people homeschool for practical reasons. During COVID pandemic, people are homeschooling for safety reasons. Olympic athletes, oftentimes they are homeschooled so they can hone their craft. But within the larger homeschool movement, there's little movements inside of it. And one of those movements inside of the homeschooling movement, which we were a part of, was called the patriarchy movement. And the patriarchy movement is exactly what it sounds like. It's about adherence to the patriarchy. So men are to have power and control over women in the home, church, and oftentimes in society. Women's role in this movement is to submit to the men in their life, say yes to sex, and have a lot of babies. And on that note, it's kind of like those, are you familiar with those Russian nesting dolls, those Matryoshka dolls, where like no. They're stacked inside, like, you know, there's yes, a big yes. doll and like inside. Yeah, it's kind of like that. So you have like this Baptist church I grew up in, then inside of that's the homeschooling movement, then inside the homeschooling movement is the patriarchy movement. Inside of that, something called the Quiverful Movement. And if you're familiar with the Duggars, 19 Kids and Counting, that is the closest pop culture example I have to my upbringing. I think there's also a new show called Welcome to Plathville, which is also very similar. But the idea with the Quiverful Movement is this. They take a scripture out of context in Psalms that says, children are like arrows in a mighty man's quiver. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. So they say children are like arrows, and for you to be a blessed man, you should have a quiver full of children. And the idea is you have all these children that are arrows, that when they grow up, you shoot them out into the world and they will sink into different sectors of society like the home, church, government, media, schools, all the major sectors of influence in society, and they will dominate the world with this very patriarchal message about how the world should be. So, you got, yeah, homeschool movement, Quiverful Movement, or Patriarchy Movement, Quiverful Movement inside of that. And I remember as a teenager sitting through a lecture called the 200-year plan. And the 200-year plan was about if you have 10 children, and those 10 children have 10 children, and those 10 children have 10 children, and on for 200 years, you will have this astronomical amount of descendants, these arrows to sink into the world. And we really literally can dominate the world through overpopulation. Now, this is not the only religion that has those ideologies. They may not call it quiverful, but this is actually a really common thing among cult-like environments, having this world domination mentality. Inside of the Quiverful Movement, there's one more little doll in that Russian nesting doll bunch that I was a part of, and it was called the Stay-at-Home Daughter Movement. And have you ever heard of the Stay-at-Home Daughter Movement?
Yeah.
Okay, good for you. I'm glad you haven't. That probably means your life is blessed.
But I mean, I guess I can see where this is come, like where it comes, like a woman who stays at home until she gets married, right? Because in the Latin culture, it's very like that. My family isn't. My mom was just like, go and do whatever you want.
So yeah.
Age 20, but no, I can see that. I see what you mean.
Right. It's like if adult women are supposed to be submitting to men, what do we do with, if married women are supposed to be submitting to their husbands, what do we do with adult unmarried women? Like, we can't have them not submitting to anybody. That would be a travesty. So you focus on homemaking skills, submit to your father until he literally or metaphorically gives you away in marriage to another man that you submit to. And then you have all those babies and perpetuate the system. So that's what I grew up in. And there were multiple forms of abuse, and, you know, I don't want to go into all of the details of those right now because trigger warnings, and I know that sometimes we have to prep an audience before talking about things in detail, but there were multiple different forms of abuse, and one of those was an abusive relationship, a lot of emotional abuse and control. I actually got engaged to this guy. We were tracking on down the line to getting married, and I started feeling a lot of fear and just being afraid for what would happen after we got married. And thankfully, before the wedding day, I was able to call it off. But what happens with so many people is when you've experienced abuse, you go through post-traumatic stress disorder. So the panic attacks, the anxiety, the depression, the suicidal thoughts. And I was experiencing all of that when I came out of that relationship. Keeping in mind, I was still in this cult-like environment. Okay. So I'm experiencing all this stuff. And I guess kind of transitioning into the work that I'm doing now, some of the tipping points for that was there was a year where I really wasn't sure if I could keep living, if I wanted to keep living. Not so much because I didn't want to live, but because it was so painful. When I was awake, I would think about the abuse that I experienced and have a lot of panic and anxiety and depression around it. When I would sleep, I would have flashbacks and nightmares, and it was just, I felt like I couldn't escape it. And about, I don't know, maybe 8 months to a year into that, I started realizing that the only way to really block out all these feelings was to stay up late at night. And when you have a larger size family, that's the only time you can have peace and quiet. And I would stay up late at night. I would put my headphones in and just turn on music really, really loud just to try to drown out the sound in my own mind. So I didn't think, I couldn't think and just get lost in the music. When I was doing that, just one of these most hopeless places, I felt this presence come over me, and I heard this voice come into my head, a voice that I didn't conjure on my own, that said, it's going to be okay. Something big, something good's about to happen. It's going to be okay. Something big, something good is about to happen. And looking back now, I realized that was the voice of my intuition. And because I'd finally blocked out the noise of what everybody was telling me, it was finally able to come through and rise through. And I trusted that voice. And within months, I began realizing that I was in a cult-like environment. I began stepping forward into a healing path. And one thing that happened that was amazing was a woman who briefly visited my church and was like, "This is not for me." I'm like, "Good for you." She works at a coffee shop. She invited me to come visit her there. I did. She introduced me to a guy who enjoyed theology, which I also did. We got talking. He told me about this idea of equality for women. I didn't believe him and really pushed back on it because I thought he was trying to destroy, you know, and lead me astray with this theology. I was like, "I'm going to prove him wrong, so we're going to have a debate." To be a good debater, you have to know the other person's point of view better than they do. So I went to study equality for women, even from a Christian perspective, and the debate didn't have to happen because I realized equality for women and really egalitarianism from a Christian standpoint or feminism from more of a secular point of view is safer for women, and that the whole system I had lived in had been built on this idea that women were inferior and couldn't choose for themselves, and that that was a huge link to the abuse I and so many other people in this cult-like environment had experienced. And so that got me ideologically changing from the cult. But it wasn't until I started sneak dating and my now husband, where we quickly realized we were right for each other. We got married, and that's when I officially exited the cult. And that gave me so much space to start listening to my intuition on a deeper level, to start really getting on that healing path and healing for myself.
When you heard that voice and you tapped into your intuition, what gave you the courage to say, "Okay, I'm going to listen to this intuition"? And also, like, I feel when you're in that environment, you second guess yourself and you're like, "Should I listen? Where are the next steps?" So you mentioned that you took those steps to heal. How are you able to do it when you're still in this environment?
Yeah. So a lot of the healing happened after I left, but there was part of your healing is knowledge and education. And so that is some of the parts that I began to experience while I was still in the cult. So when I met my husband, he really was this source of strength for me and a lot of protection, because if I had tried to leave the cult by myself, because I was a stay-at-home daughter, I only had like a part-time nanny job, I really would not have had the resources or the knowledge of how to survive outside in the real world. And so when we met and we totally married for love and our intuition drew us together, but it was also a physical escape. You know, he gave me this safe place where I could basically learn all of the adulting things in the real world, but in a place where I was treated as an equal in our marriage. That really gave me an opportunity to heal. So, you know, I went to therapy and that was incredibly helpful. I'm still in therapy, and I would say that everybody should be in therapy at least some point in their life, whether you've experienced something like this or not. Like, therapy is where it's at. I'm just saying. But, you know, I also started talking about the abuse I'd experienced on my blog and the different things I had grown up with. And hundreds of people started reaching out saying they'd experienced a lot of the same things. And so I knew they weren't alone because so many of them were saying the same things. And they didn't know they weren't alone. But from there, that's kind of where I launched into my nonprofit, where I have an event for abuse survivors to gather together, because for me, that was one of the things where I felt so alone. I thought I was the only one experiencing things like this, and I wasn't. And so anybody who's listening, number one, if you've gone through something painful, any type of abuse, it doesn't have to be as extreme as a cult. Just know you are not alone, and there's other people out there that can support you. And also, listen to that still small voice inside, that intuition when it speaks, because it's telling you the truth.
I feel like you have so much to say in regards to following your intuition, but you know, you have an event and it's called Emerge, and we'll talk about that later, but I kind of want you to mention about what it feels like to create this empowered life that you deserve. Like, I hear this all the time, you mentioning it, you have an event about it. So like, I feel like a lot of women who are in this situation feel stuck. I feel like I could relate and ask you these questions if I share a little bit of like something that I've dealt with. Like, there's been moments where I've wanted to leave a situation, but maybe felt like I couldn't because of financial resources or the time's not right. And like, hearing that intuition saying, it's going to be okay, you will be able to get out of that, but almost feeling stuck, you know? So when, like, any advice for women who do feel that way in a certain situation and are able to get that courage to say, okay, I'm going to create that life that I do deserve. Like, you know, any advice for that when the moment of feeling stuck, I guess that feeling of feeling stuck.
Absolutely. So that is a great, great question. I think so many people do relate with that, because whether they're stuck in an abusive environment or whether they're stuck in a job that they hate or a relationship that's not working or something else entirely, I think we can all relate to feeling stuck at some point or another. And I would say the first step is, number one, realize that you're feeling stuck, because a lot of people go through life very unconsciously where they just do what they've always done over and over again, and they don't allow themselves to dream or desire something better. Maybe they wish it was better, but they don't give themselves space to imagine that that could really be possible. So the first step would be recognizing that you feel stuck and that this isn't an environment or a situation you want to remain in for the long term. Number two would be giving yourself a little bit of space, okay? When we are, whether it is in an abusive situation, whether it is in a job we hate, whether it is a relationship that's just not working, we can be so enveloped in this situation that the reality of what everybody else is saying to us becomes our reality, because we don't have a sense of self. We aren't listening to our gut. We are so enmeshed into the system that we can't even hear that voice inside. So whether it is a couple minutes on your lunch break, or whether it is staying up late at night, just have a little bit of space to yourself for 30 minutes. Whether it is, hey, I'm going to take the weekend off. Take some time to just be alone with you and your thoughts without the outside influences. Because when you constantly have people saying, this is how you need to do things, this is why you need to stay in this environment, it's hard for you to listen to that still small voice inside, because a lot of times your intuition is quiet. A lot of times your intuition is subtle. And if you don't block that out, you can't hear it. So step number two would be give yourself a little bit of space to be by yourself and let that intuition come up. I really love meditation. And if you're not somebody who likes to just sit and go, and you know, be alone, try guided meditation, because that can kind of take you on a journey and can really bring you some clarity without your mind going all over the place. And maybe choose a guided meditation where you're able to ask questions of your intuition in the meditation, so you can get ideas about what next steps would be healthy for you to take. Realizing that you don't like the environment, step one. Step two is getting alone to yourself. And then when you're alone to yourself, using different tools to hear from your intuition and get to what you really want, so the way forward can become clear.
Okay, I love that, especially the guided meditation, because I went like 29 years of my life hating meditation, like yoga, not really wanting to do any of that. And recently, actually the beginning of this year, I tapped into a child, an inner child guided meditation. And it was exactly what I needed, because I'm actually in a situation where I'm dealing, you know, with someone from my past being in my present now. Love them, yeah. But it's bringing back things. And, you know, so I fell in control of my life when I took that time to find the right type of guided meditations, like Ho'oponopono. Mm-hmm. I think it's Ho'oponopono. I'm studying NLP. Yep. Right now, so that one's been really great for me. So yeah, no, totally, totally. Thank you for that advice. For anyone listening, definitely guided meditation. I second that.
Yeah. And then the last thing I would say on that is I love the meditation piece, but then when you have had that time alone to yourself a little bit, then reach out to other people who've been in similar situations. Okay. Don't reach out to the people who are trying to keep you in the same spot, but you know, whether you find a Facebook group, whether you Google it and find a blog or a YouTube video, if you're able to talk with other people who've been where you are, that can give you courage to leave the situation and also some practical ideas of how to step forward.
I love that. No, definitely. Oh, wow. Okay. So tell us about Emerge. As I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, it's a retreat for women who have dealt with any kind of abuse. So tell us about it. And, you know, I want to hear what you have to say, because actually I'm going to link, well, you don't have it out yet, but eventually I'll link the video that I filmed for Ashley and Rachel, who are the creators of Emerge, because you could see just the transformation in these like woman's eyes just by being at this retreat. So yeah, share away.
Yes. And thank you so much for creating that beautiful video for us, because you really did capture that transformation. And that's really what we love to offer the women who attend. So people who attend Emerge, they may have experienced abuse. Myself and Rachel Grant, who is the co-host of Emerge, we both experienced abuse. But even if you haven't, society in general often just pushes women down. The patriarchy is strong. So whether you've experienced, you know, not getting ahead in the workplace because of a lot of sexism happening, or whether it is just one of those things where you're struggling with low self-esteem because of the messaging we get in media, you don't just have to have experienced abuse to come. Though, statistically speaking, 1 in 3 women have experienced abuse in their lifetime. So we do know that that is a piece of it. And as somebody who's been an abuse survivor advocate for many years, that's something I'm very mindful of. My co-host, Rachel Grant, she has an MA in counseling psychology. So we're very much working to be trauma-informed. But what we offer at the Emerge Retreat is really helping you get in touch with the feelings that have been pushed down and suppressed, really helping you get in touch with the fullness of yourself. Because what happens with whether it's abuse or whether it is just society in general telling you how you should be as a woman, we often shrink ourselves and make ourselves smaller. And we're not living in that empowered version of ourselves where we are defining our destiny, taking charge of our stress response system, taking charge of our emotion, and choosing what happens next in our life. With Emerge, we help you go through a variety of different tools, from different somatic tools to, you know, we use art, we use, you know, some lecture style, but there's really a lot of interactive things with Emerge. You know, it's not just sitting through a dull conference. Like, it's very interactive.
I mean, just to say, like, when I saw it, it is a very interactive retreat.
Yes.
Like, you walk out of there not just feeling empowered, but I mean, even like, I wasn't even participating in this. I gained so much knowledge out of like how to tap into your intuition, how to tap into those emotions and let them out so you can walk out feeling healed and stronger. So I feel like I'm doing a testimony here for you, but no.
I love it so much. And that's awesome. And that's exactly what we've heard from the other women who joined us. And that's one other thing I'll say about it is like, so many times in society, women are pitted against each other. And there can be a lot of wounds between mothers and daughters. There can be a lot of wounds between sisters, a lot of wounds between girlfriends, just because patriarchy loves to pit women against each other. But this is a place where you can be with other women in a safe environment where we're all, you know, really working on not only empowering ourselves, but empowering the other women around us. And so, yeah, that's really what Emerge is all about. You come and you leave with a transformation. It's not just a lecture where you take notes. You feel the transformation in your body.
I love that. Well, thank you, Ashley, for being so vulnerable and, you know, telling us about your story. Also just giving us advice on how to get out of those toxic environments, because I feel like, you know, women, like, I'm strong, you're strong, and we tell ourselves that constantly. We're like, we can deal with this, we've dealt with it before, we're strong, right? And then it just becomes this repetitive thing where we keep, you know, not putting boundaries, either to the abuser or somebody in our life who we love, but at the same time mm-hmm. need to create those boundaries. So I really do appreciate, you know, you sharing some advice with us that our listeners can take and hopefully, you know, start changing their lives, if not signing up to Emerge. So thank you again for being here and just opening up. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you so, so much. And if anybody wants to follow me on Instagram, I am Ashley Easter on Instagram, and the Emerge Retreat, you can sign up with the details. That is theemergeretreat.com. And we are hosting the event virtually this year, but it's still going to be super interactive. And you can join us on May 7th through 9th.
Okay, so May 7th, put it on your calendars. I'll actually link all the information in the description of the podcast. Go ahead and follow Ashley. And yeah, definitely check her out. If you guys can't do it this year, I would definitely suggest it. I think this is the year to really invest in yourself. Like I said, I told you I invested into like NLP, and I totally believe that if your intuition is calling you to do something and this episode related with you, definitely check out Ashley because she's doing great stuff. So anyways, thanks again, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you.